Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
It's that time of the week. It's a Thursday afternoon. I think normally we talk to Gavin on a Wednesday, but I wasn't here yesterday and he agreed to join us this afternoon, of which we thank him. It's Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World. Hello, Gavin.
I did, and here I am.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
On a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, it is. I look at my watch and it tells me it's 21 degrees in the car park.
Yes, very nice. I think we're supposed to get a cold change tomorrow, but I don't think there's any rain in it, though.
I've got to tell you that where we live in the valley, we got around about 12 or 13 mil of rain, so that's nice. I know someone that's a regular listener here that lives at Brankston, they got about 18 mil, so we're pretty close to that, so maybe we got a little more than that. But it was good to get some rain, but I tell you, I went out walking this morning bright and early, and it was really cool, really cold this morning.
Yes, and I think there's a few days, a few mornings next week that's supposed to be 5, 6, 7 degrees overnight. So it's got a little bit of way to go yet to warm up, especially overnight.
It's still nice of a night time, though. It's lovely weather, isn't it, to have the warm days and then of a night time it cools down and you still get the opportunity, if you've got a fire, to sit in front of the fire and do all those sort of things.
Absolutely. It's a great time of year, as long as we don't get those hideous August westerlies.
Yeah, true. Okay, today, Gavin, we're talking about gardening for dummies.
One of my lovely ladies upstairs came up with that. I said, I need to do a back to basics week. And she said, oh, that's a good idea, gardening for dummies. And I thought, well, I wasn't going to quite put it like that, but now you've said it, there's plenty of books out there, like Computers for Dummies and things like that. And I thought, why not go along with it?
You bet. Not only is it a name that we all know, it is super popular in reference to, it's made them lots and lots of money, those For Dummies series.
Absolutely, yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Considering we don't read a lot of books anymore, that's one I think that still flies off the shelves.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk about it. What are some of the things that you've got in Gardening for Dummies, Gavin style?
Very good. Well, this all came up because a gentleman wanted to lay turf straight over the top of existing turf. And I said, look, you really can't do that. And he argued. And I said, look, you just can't do it. Turf, when it comes these days, is like a layer of carpet with little roots hanging underneath. Now, you can't put that directly on existing turf because there's nothing to attach it to it.
Right.
You would be able to, for one, you'd be able to just roll it back up weeks afterwards. And secondly, because you've got to water a lawn for the first few weeks, basically 3 or 4 times a day, all that's going to happen is all the weed seeds and all the grass that's underneath is going to come through your lovely new turf.
Right.
So you really do need, and there's plenty of products out there that you can hire to scalp, you know, an inch or so off, and I'm using the old scale, but an inch off the top of the existing ground. There's rotary hose, you can dig it up. Plenty of things out there to help do this, but you can't possibly ever lay a new turf straight on top of an old turf. It'd be like laying carpet on top of existing carpet, you know, or those old homes I've rented that have 3 lots of wallpaper, one on top of the other.
Yeah, right.
It just doesn't work. The ideal really is 2 to 3 inches or 50 to 75 mil of like an underlay soil, which again, going back to the carpet reference, is like carpet underlay underneath. So you put a nice layer, you level that out, which gives you a lovely even surface to lay the turf onto. That's the most important thing. But you've got to have, whether you import soil or whether you literally just rotary hoe up what you've got and then rake it nice and flat, you need that 50 to 75 mil of something nice and loose, that when you put that beautiful new lawn that you've just paid a lot of money for, the roots have actually got something to go into. That's the most important thing you can possibly do with a new lawn.
There's a guy just down the road from where I live, and look, we've been in the valley now for plus 30 years, and I remember when we first bought the property in the valley, it was a 25-acre block, and it had lots of nice trees on it, and I used to joke to people that if I was, because he was still alive in those days, if I was Kerry Packer, I'd turf the whole place and have all nice green grass. I tell you this because there's a bloke down the road who obviously is very, very rich, and I think he's into construction or something like that, and he bought a 25-acre block, and he has seeded, not turfed, but he has seeded the entire 25 acres. You know, you take out dams and, you know, orchards and the house and all these sort of things and driveways and paths, but he has seeded the entire, well, 25-acre block of land. And he's obviously got the green thumb. The place is just absolutely bright green all year round. He's got water on it. He fertilizes it at the right time. So this seeded area of 25 acres looks terrific. It's all like turf. It looks like it's been turf laid.
Wow, that sounds lovely. That sounds lovely. But he must have done his preparation to be able to get it like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. But he's done. Gee, he's done a good job, a really good job.
You've got to do your preparation, and that's the most important thing. So if you're going to seed it, same idea. You've got to have that loose soil for the seed to take off in. So I mean, that really applies the same anyway. Now, if you're going to top dress a lawn, please no more than the old half inch or 15 mil. Mow it first and then top dress it. Don't top dress fully grown turf, because all that's going to happen is the top dress being heavier is going to lay the blades over, and then when you water it, those blades will just rot underneath. So a nice short mow, and then a no more than 15 mil, or as I said, the old half inch over the top of it when you top dress. That's the other very important thing. Now, don't lay a lawn, of course, in the most extreme months. You wouldn't do it in June and July because lawn just won't grow and it's just too cold, unless you've got a little patch-up job, of course. But if you're going to do a whole lawn, I wouldn't do it through those two. And for the same reason, I wouldn't do it in January and February, because A, it's just too hot for a lawn to take off, and B, there's a tremendous amount of people being school holidays in January that aren't there. Now, as I said, the most important thing you can do when you put down a new lawn is water it at least 3 or 4 times a day. There's no point really, and it's the opposite to an existing lawn, because an existing lawn you want to give a good soak once or twice a week. With a new lawn, because you're literally only wetting the top surface, you've got to keep that top surface actually moist all the time. So it's at least 3 or 4 times a day for that first fortnight to give it a good start. So that's lawns. That's just all the basics that you would need to do to actually get a lawn going. Now, if we then go on to gardens, the most important thing with gardens is to get a good depth of soil. If you want to do a veggie garden or a flower garden, you have to have it at least a ruler's depth of loose soil. Now, again, whether that be just to loosen up what you've got, they used to say to the depth of a spade or a fork, ruler's the same, that sort of depth, loosen it up. Or, failing that, if you don't want to go to that sort of depth, build it up above the ground. Now, that comes into planting a plant. If you plant a plant in very heavy clay soil, which tends to be a lot of the Newcastle area, especially the lower Newcastle area, don't dig a great big hole, because they always say when you plant a tree, plant it in a hole double the width of the pot and double the depth. Now, no matter what pot that is, roughly double width and double depth. Now, that works when you're not in heavy clay. If you're in heavy clay, you want to go wider and not as deep, because what they'll tell you is that if you can fill up that hole with water, if there's water still in the bottom of it 24 hours later, you can't plant a tree in it, because it means it's got very bad drainage. So what you do is you go triple the width, but only the pot deep, and you mound. Mounding's the best thing you can possibly do if you've got a heavy clay soil. And I know there'll be a lot of people out there listening that are in areas or suburbs around Newcastle, like I was at Mayfield West. You dig a hole in that. I filled it up with water. It was still half full 24 hours later. So all my plants and all my trees had to be either lifted above the ground, as in like a garden bed, a boxed-in garden bed, or I had to mound everything. Now, you do them wider and shallower so that the roots don't go straight down into the bottom and sit in that wet sogginess at the bottom of the hole. That's the other little tip I can tell everybody for that. You can use gypsum. Everybody says gypsum's fabulous for clay, and it is, but what you must remember with gypsum and what they don't tell you is the fact that it's not permanent. Gypsum breaks up the clay for a period of no more than 6 months, then it just goes back to the way it was. So if you just relied on that, you'll get a good lot of growth for the first 6 months, and then all of a sudden the tree sort of sits there and looks at you and you can't work out why. It's because all the clay underneath has gone back to all sticking together. So what you've got to do is put your gypsum in to break it up originally, but then add lots and lots of compost, anything fibrousy like mushroom compost or garden clippings, the old-fashioned compost bin, anything you can get, you can buy it in bags, planting compost, anything that's fibrousy that you can then put in, and that once the gypsum's done its job and broken up the soil, you can then keep it that way. I mean, I used to always have a compost bin when I lived at Mayfield where I did, and I was always, every 6 months, I would put layers and layers and layers of compost over the top of the soil so that it worked its way in, and I made sure that within 3 or 4 or maybe 5 years later, that soil was so rich and good that the clay was just a distant memory. Now, it takes a little bit of work, but you can't just rely on the one product, put it in the hole and think you've done the job and that's it for good, because it won't work permanently. So that's a little tip I can tell people for that one, and that's most certainly from personal experience. Mulches. If we're going to do mulches, and I know I'm going over a lot of territory here, but mulches, a minimum of 75 mil. You can't put a mulch over the ground, cover the ground, and think it's fabulous and you're not going to get any weeds. It's going to keep the moisture in. It's going to do all those things. Because if you just cover the ground with it so that you can't see the soil, that is never going to do the job. Mulches, 75 mil, the old 3-inch mark is what you need. Now, the other thing you must never do is put the mulches up against the trunk. That's the other thing you can always guarantee, is that if you put that mulch up against the trunk of the tree, that trunk will get a rot in it. The mulch will hold the moisture like it's supposed to after rain. The trunk will then start to rot and you'll get every insect under the sun, and that trunk will then become what is known as ringbark. Now, once a trunk gets ringbarked, that's the end of the tree. So we always make sure when you're mulching, do a nice little ditch, a little dish around the base so that you don't put the mulch up against the trunk of the tree. Very, very important. Good mulch, but not that close. Now, I don't care which one you use. Some people prefer pine bark, rich mulch, all sorts of different mulches, sugar cane. They all are good in their own way, but the secret is the depth and making sure that they don't go near the trunks of the tree.
3 inches, 75 mil in the mil. So 3 inches in the old scale of mulching.
How I'm trying to do all these in both.
Have you got any others?
The other thing I would say is, The main time to prune a plant is generally after they flower or after they fruit. For example, if you have a lovely camellia bush, don't prune it in the 3 or 4 months due to when it's due to flower, because you're going to prune the flower buds off. And then you'll wonder, you'll come in here and you'll say, why isn't my camellia flowering? It's like, well, you've just cut off all the flowers. So do it always after, let's say, citrus. There is no point, again, in pruning a citrus or even feeding a citrus for that matter, because if you feed it and it's in flower or fruit, by feeding it, you're going to tell the plant that you want it to grow.
Yeah.
So the first thing it'll do is drop the flowers off or drop the fruit off. So you always feed, especially a fruiting plant or a flowering plant, when you trim it, which is after it's done its business. Most important, if you've got insects, and I'll finish off with this, when you've got insects on a plant, if you're going to spray it, and people know I don't really like spraying that much, but if you have to, insects become active at night. Now, you've only got to talk to people who drive around at night to how many insects they end up on their windscreen. They never usually come about through the day, because most insects despise the sun and they despise birds, and they know that birds are awake through the day and they'll eat them. So all insects tend to become active overnight, so the best time to spray them is just on dusk.
Fantastic. Gavin's covered a lot of topics there. If you've missed anything, we'll put a podcast of Gavin's chat up on our local website here, the2hd.com.au. And if you want to go and say hello and see him, he's there over the weekend. He's there at Lee Rowan's Garden Wall. Here's the plug. Thank you, mate. It's Gardening for Dummies. Here's the plug.
I am. I'm here from Sunday to Thursday each week, and I'm at 381 Hillsborough Road, Warners Bay, which is at the bottom end of Hillsborough Road, the Warners Bay end. And then we have our lovely, which I've spent the last couple of weeks at, our lovely branch at Orimba, which is 5 seconds off the freeway, halfway between Newcastle and Sydney at 72 Pacific Highway, Orimba.
We love having you on the show. Thank you for swapping days around for us. We'll get back to normal and talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah, that's all good. I shall look forward to it.
Thank you, Gavin. Have a good weekend. There you go, Gavin, from Lee Rowan's Garden World.